Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to Swish and Flick, episode 53. I'm Sarah.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
This episode is sponsored by Crystal Daigle. So thanks.
Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you. You're awesome. Also, before we started recording, Sarah was like, Daigle.
Daigle.
We like it. We like
it. Crystal. All right. So today, it's just the three of us as we prepare for the almighty return of Tiffany, the Gryffindor.
The great Gryffindor.
Tiff the Griff. I just made that up.
I don't think you did.
I did.
I feel like I've heard that before.
I made it up.
Okay.
It's mine.
All right. So before we really dive deep into what we're actually going to be talking about, we want to give a massive shout out and a huge thank you to Ezra for helping us out with Tiffany being gone. And also, like, he helped us a lot. Wow. Words can't come out of my mouth. He helped us tremendously with the Wizardly World of Kent.
Yes.
So you literally would not have been able to get through the month of July without you. So yep. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're probably not going to listen to this episode. And if you do, you owe us chocolate. I don't know. That way it'll prove that you listen to it. So thank you a lot.
Thank you, E. Kirk.
And I
don't
know,
E. Kirk.
The listeners enjoyed having you on the episode.
You seem to be quite popular.
But I don't know if we're ever going to have you back. This might be it. We might never talk to you again. Who knows?
That's not true, Ezra. We love you.
No, but again, really, we appreciate all of the help that you've given us.
Yeah.
So. Thanks. We literally would not have been able to do this podcast without you because you helped us out at the beginning and the end. Oh, wait.
Our listener, Alyssa,
I wasn't supposed
says,
to tell people that yet.
Our listener, Alyssa, says that she wants him to come back.
I know a lot of people do. I mean, it
somebody
just
asked if he was going to come back whenever Kate and I go on vacation. That's not happening. No, I mean, I don't mean that in like a, oh, sorry, but we're just going to like bulk up the episodes so that like Kate and I don't miss any.
Yeah.
And it's only going to be 2 weeks. It's not like it was an extended time like Tiff, but you never know. He could come back just as a guest sometime or maybe on a Felix Files or something. So he'll be around. Don't worry.
We'll give him a break. He's on his own podcast.
And he's got a lot going on.
He's on Unexpected Podcast and Bend the Knee. So go listen him over there if you want to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to be discussing chapter 11, which is my favorite number, of Dang. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the Firebolt. And Tiffany yells at me because I call it a firebolt. She's like, it's a firebolt.
What do you call it? A bolt?
I guess.
Firebolt?
You do kind of say bolt.
I say things odd. So make sure that you've read the chapter and that you know what we're going to talk about, or else we're going to spoil it for you, and you know we're not that sorry.
Whoops.
So we're going to dive into the pool of details and swim around and see what we can find. But first, let's go to Megan with the A Weekly A Prophet.
So I have two things that I wanted to talk about for the Weekly Prophet. The first thing isn't on here, but I wanted to ask you guys if you wanted to chat a little bit about our experience at the Wizardly World of Kent, because obviously, a lot of our listeners couldn't make it out there. There were a handful that were there. We got some new listeners, so thank you to all of those who found us last weekend in Kent. We appreciate you.
And your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And your ears. But I just thought that maybe we could give them like a recap of what we did that day. And
recap.
I watched some of our listeners sell our podcast to people, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last weekend was kind of surreal.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it really was. So Katie and I have been vendors at the Wizardly World of Kent all 3 years. It was just like a thing that we always looked forward to doing. We have this little poster business. We sold posters there. It was like a nice, inexpensive little thing for people to buy. But this past year we decided, you know, we can do that still, but why don't we have like a promotional booth for Swish and Flick? Because it's our 1 year weekend anniversary and why not?
We wanted a party.
Yeah.
And we did.
So, first up, we had some listeners come to Ohio who are not from Ohio, and that was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So shout out to, and I'm sorry if I miss you. I might just not remember your name, but know that I remember your face and that I appreciate you. But I do know, so we had Bev and Jess from Canada come. We had Lacey come from Indiana. We had Julie come from Boston. We had William come from Virginia.
I was going to say
Kentucky. I'm so sorry.
I think he's from Virginia.
Maybe you're right.
We had Katie, Neil come from Kentucky, I believe.
Perhaps maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Knowing where these people live.
I don't know why I know this. I'm just like really good with that kind of thing.
I am not.
I'm good with birthdays, but I don't know anyone of theirs.
And then there were a lot of other people that came up to the booth who either were like interested in learning about us or had maybe like listened before a couple episodes. But then I just want to give a massive shout out to Beverly specifically. Mm-hmm. Who, not that the other girls were not helpful. They totally were. And thank you for everything that you did. We really appreciate it. But Bev literally stayed at the booth practically the entire time and just sold our podcast to people who were walking by. Like, she did it better than I ever could have. And it was just amazing to hear somebody talk about how much this podcast means to them and to try and invite others to join in the community. It was just really... Again, I'll say it again. It was surreal to have somebody talking about like our baby like that to others to try and get them to come. So huge thank you to Bev.
It was like amazing to see, like she said, it's the whole thing is still surreal to me. We've talked about this on our anniversary episode where like I still don't think that, like, I know that I'm on Swish and Flick, but when, like, people talk about it, I'm like, oh, that's just, like, it's not, it's still, like,
a side project.
It's not connecting to me that, like, we've made this much of an impact. And to hear her and even hear Jessica tell people, they're like, no, we drove, like, 30-some hours. Like, this is how much we love this podcast.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
And then, like, you could see, like, the people they were talking to, like, they were almost taken aback. They're like, oh, my gosh, like, wow, like, that's crazy that these people would drive this long just to meet girls from a podcast.
Honest to God, the weekend wouldn't have happened without them at all.
No.
Like, I don't know how we would have gotten it done.
We wouldn't have gotten through the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed to begin with, but then they took all that stress off my shoulders of the Swish booth, and they just helped us out so much. Jess brought us ice cream.
Yes.
And it was just a nice little sweet treat while we were working away at the booths. And I'm glad that they got to come and enjoy the fest. And I don't really get to enjoy it that much when I'm there because I'm a vendor. But like usually I'll take like 20 minutes out of the day and go walk around just to see what all is there. But I'm really glad that they got to fully enjoy it, take it all in. They came in cosplay. Like, it was just so great. It was just such a great experience. And I can't thank all of you enough for coming there.
You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
And you're my family. Yeah. So.
And a shout out to Ezra because he also helped.
Oh, definitely.
But I mean, he's not like he is a listener.
He is.
But like, thank you to all of you guys. Like, because none of you needed to be there and to come and do all of that help that you did.
Our after-hours event at Tropis Projects would not have been a thing without Ez. And I know that he's probably going to laugh about that and be like, it literally took me 2 minutes to set up.
He but made like, me time him.
I wouldn't have known how to do that. I wouldn't have had that equipment.
You know
I
what you did? Know, he plugged it in.
I know, but still, I just appreciate it.
We're trying to talk him up here.
I just really appreciate it. Yeah, like, he let us borrow his equipment, and It really, like, that event was much better than I thought that it was going to be. I was really nervous going into it. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how people are going to like, if anybody besides the girls who, like, were there with us were going to show up. And we had other people show up who these girls pitched us to throughout the day. Yeah. They showed up to the event and they heard what we were about. And I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot. You can go ahead.
No, and I talking about the being at the Travis Project and us being so nervous, we kind of did like a spiel of like who we are and how we got started and what we do and everything. And then we kind of opened it up. And Lacey was the first one. So thank you to her to be like, because we're like, do you guys have any questions? Do you guys have something to talk about anything?
It's like icebreaker. Like,
yes. And so she just was like, your opinion's on Snape. And we're like, okay, all right. Thanks, Lacey.
Yeah.
And I think that like after, you know, having her ask a question, because they, other people probably didn't know that like they were our listeners, or maybe right. they did. Some of them might have, you know, opens it up. It's an icebreaker. So then we really, I mean, we talked, the hour went by so quick and I was like, this, we could do this again.
Yeah. I remember seeing our roommate in the back of the, in the back of the room, and he like held his hand up and he was like 5 minutes, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
only 5 minutes left. But lastly, huge shout out to Tropis Projects, mm-hmm. Kelly at Tropis Projects, for letting us host that there and use her space. And then huge thank you to Lucci's Pizza of Kent for donating pizza for all of our lovely listeners to enjoy. So
also, huge shout out to Chris for putting up with so much that weekend, and also helping us work and selling all our stuff and just being amazing.
Yeah. He's not going to listen to this, but still thank you.
I know.
And he let me have some of his funnel cake.
He was sharing it with everybody.
Yeah. Then he was like, why is no one eating it? I was like, I don't eat your funnel cake. There's something else I wanted to say about that weekend, and I forget what it was.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was, though.
I hope to do it again next year. We had a lot of fun hosting trivia.
Yeah.
Trivia was a lot of fun. It went much smoother than I anticipated.
And that was something else I was nervous about
doing. It was
doing.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, I was like, the night before, like, because Tiffany and I had went through and made, like, a whole list of questions and everything. And then the night before, I was, like, making sure I had all the answers. And some of the questions, like, I was actually asking our friends. I was, like, asking them the questions, and he didn't know any of the answers. And I was like, well, actually, I don't remember the answer. It's something, like, along those lines. And it turned out that, like, we were all expecting, like, adults, and they were all kids. So then it was, like, scrambling. But luckily, I told them all, I'm like, I'm not going to do any of the questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to tally all the points so it goes quicker and we can get done and be done in an hour.
It worked out really good.
Yeah, and it was great to see that all of these kids were so excited, you know?
And they were really knowledgeable. Like, you know, we did have really hard questions, and I felt bad going through them, and I'm like, oh, that's, like, that's real deep. So I would take some of the questions and kind of simplify them. But they were still hard. Like, none of them were extremely easy. Like, I didn't ask who's the main character or anything like that. You know, like, it was name the four dragons and the task of the Triwizard Tournament. Yeah. And, like, these little, like, 6 to 10-year-olds were getting the answers, which is amazing. And
they were all working together in their groups. Yeah. And it was really cute.
So, like, the other thing, we had no idea what we were going to do. And all of a sudden, like, we just got bombarded with kids that wanted to do trivia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? Thank God Tiffany was there with her teacher personality. Because it was like, all right, guess what? You guys are going to have to team up. Like, I know that you don't know you and you don't know you, but like, can you guys be a team together? And they were all totally fine with it, and it was just such a blast. So if any of those kids are listeners now, thank you for doing trivia with us, and we hope that you enjoyed it.
And welcome aboard.
And welcome to Swish and Flick.
I will say one more thing. When we did like the live not live podcast, we didn't do a podcast, but like did our like thing at Tropis Projects, it was really great that it's so much different doing this in front of people. Cause first of all, we were like a little nervous and everything, but like, I mean, I think after doing this for a year, us sitting down in front of mics, it just, it's like almost like a shield. Like we're still just like,
this is my security blanket.
I crack jokes. Like, and it was great to like hear people laughing. Cause like normally, like we don't get that. We don't get to see their reactions. We don't get to see like,
we just
all
think
this
that
stuff.
We have like a laugh track in our head.
I know Megan was talking about, I don't know if someone had asked a question, but she basically was like saying, She's like, I want to be just like Lily. And I automatically was like, what, dead? And like to hear everyone laugh, and I was like, oh, like it's so strange because I'm not used to like, I crack a joke and then like we might laugh.
Or I just give her a look like, haha, you're funny. But like to actually hear the reactions of people, like that's probably what most of you guys do whenever you're listening to us, which is just is great. So it was really, it was really cool to see like reactions.
And we'll have to do it again with Tiffany.
I hope I hope to do a live podcast in the future. I think that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. So
we'll have to make that a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have Swisher Fest. Hopefully.
You're going to say this and people are going to be like, so when is it?
Can we call it Swishin' Fest?
Hey guys, anybody who would come to Swish and Fest, let us know and we'll plan something.
It can't be like Fire Fest or whatever that thing was that guy tried to plan in like the middle of an island that went horrible. Do you guys remember hearing about that?
No.
No.
I think it was called Fire, like F-Y-R-E. It was like people spent like crazy amounts of money to go. It was supposed to be like this crazy festival that was going to be great with all of these bands and like headliners and all this stuff. And they were like trapped on an island for like 3 days. Like it was nothing what they said. Like the people are getting sued for it.
Swish and Fest like will not be like that.
We don't. Well, first of all, we don't have that kind of money to like say that we have all this stuff. So all right, cool guys. Harry Potter, who's that guy? We don't know. We'll find out.
All right, so actual weekly profit. I wanted to tell everybody that at the end of this month, Cinemark, if you have a Cinemark in your hometown, they're hosting a massive festival, basically, of over Labor Day weekend, where they're going to play all 9 films. 9 includes Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And it's $25 for a fest pass. So that means $25 and you get to go see 9 movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, because it's the 20th anniversary in America, they're bringing the movies back to theaters.
That's awesome.
And I'll post a link for everybody to see it. But it's going to be in XD, which is cool. So
you can also just see each film on their own for $5 if you only wanted to see certain ones or you couldn't make them all or whatever.
And the festival pass like gives you access to be able to get this cool collectible stuff, like a refillable cup and
a cup.
Oh, really?
Commemorative festival badge. Give and me all the that cup. Fun stuff. So
again, I almost went to go look at your computer not realizing I can open it on mine.
Yeah.
I want a cup. What kind of a cup, though? Is it plastic?
Yes.
Probably.
It's like, you know when you go to Cinemark and you get those refillable cups for like the year?
That are
the
like
$80. Big plastic things. Yeah. That's what it is, but it's going to be
like,
Harry Potter.
Like the baseball
exactly,
game size
like that you
ones.
Get in at a baseball game. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All that's right. My weekly profit.
Who's introing me here?
Oh, no. We don't have Ezra or Tiffany. Florence should do it.
Florence.
Oh, Florence is not very peppy. She doesn't do a good recap.
I was going to say, just do it slow. It's good.
All right. So, last time, with the promise of anti-dementor lessons, Harry's spirits aren't quite so low. Especially since now he knows that Remus doesn't just think he's a weakling and can't handle these boggarts and dementors and whatnot. So, Harry receives a special gift from Fred and George. The Marauder's Map.
What?
And he used it to sneak into Hogsmeade, and he found out some haunting truths from his past.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a summary. So Harry is super mad at all the people who have been hiding things from him. So to take his anger out a bit, he decides to go to Hagrid and be like, bro, why you not tell me these things? So the trio had to talk to him. They find him distraught over some news he got over what might happen to Buckbeak. The trio then decides to help in whatever way they can, so they start to research. It's now Christmas, and Harry wakes up to presents from Mrs. Weasley. What? And a secret admirer who has given him a firebolt of a good present. They have a great feast and a great day. Go sour when McGee takes his gift away.
McGee.
What a horrible thing to do.
Why?
On Christmas.
What are you thinking?
All right, so guys, I hope you like the sound of my voice because we don't have Tiffany today and we don't have Ezra today. So
Katie gets 2 parts.
So Katie gets two parts.
We're switching one Hufflepuff for the other Hufflepuff.
Right. So
the best Hufflepuff is going to be talking.
Well, thank you. So we start out by Harry, he doesn't really know how he managed to get back to Hogwarts, like through Honeyduke's cellar all the way back to the castle, because he's just like fuming from this conversation he's overheard of the three broomsticks.
Can you imagine though?
No, I can't. I mean,
I would be too.
I don't know if I'd be fuming. I think it, well, I'm a crier.
Well,
I would probably, yeah, I would cry.
It does say that his head was pounding with the conversation. So, I mean, he's probably shocked. He's mm-hmm. probably angry. He's probably mm-hmm. just all these mixes of emotion.
I can imagine him, like, walking through that passage and, like,
such a long way,
just
too.
Playing the conversation over and over and over again in his head, just constantly, the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he's even thinking to himself, like, why has no one ever told me this? Dumbledore, Hagrid, Mr. Weasley, even Cornelius Fudge. Like, why has no one ever mentioned the fact that my parents died because their best friend betrayed them? Like, that kind of seems important for me to know, you know? You know? You know?
But, okay, here's the thing. In defense to the adults, like, is it really important that Harry knows that? I mean, I know that it's clearly a shock now that he, like, didn't know and finds out, but, like, looking at an 11-year-old boy, would you think to say, and I know he's 13 now, but still, like, how do you bring that up in the conversation now that he's already found out about his parents? Like, when you're 11, I'm not gonna look at you and be like, your parents died because their best friend betrayed them. You know?
It's
a tough situation.
Yeah. It's a hard conversation.
I understand why he's mad, but at the same time, I think he should understand that, like, the opportunity hasn't really presented itself to him to find that information out.
In his defense, he's a 13-year-old boy.
I know.
Yeah. And,
yes,
like,
definitely.
I can, if you put yourself in his shoes, I mean, I totally get it, but I also totally get the adults.
My
team
probably
there's not really
fit
a
his shoes.
Mine probably would.
Katie would probably fit in.
Actually, his shoes would probably be too big for me. So the trio doesn't talk about it all through dinner because Percy's sitting too close to them. And then when they get back to the common room, Harry just, like, leaves right away because Fred and George are in there, like, shooting off dung bombs or something. And he doesn't want them, like, oh, how'd the Marauder's Map work out? Because
he's
just
not in the mood.
Yeah, he just wants to go and find the photo album that Hagrid gave him.
Mm.
And he's looking through it, and he finds a picture of Lily and James's wedding day. And he had never stopped to notice the best man in the picture. And I'm going to read a little bit from the book. If he hadn't known it was the same person, he would have never guessed it was Black in this old photograph. His face wasn't sunken and waxy, but handsome and full of laughter.
Mm.
Had he already been working for Voldemort when this picture had been taken? Was he already planning the deaths of the two people next to him? Did he realize he was facing 12 years in Azkaban? 12 years that would make him unrecognizable?
That makes me so
sad. I know.
Sad.
Just think of this. A 13-year-old child has to think about these things. It makes me really sad.
I just, you know, it's so sad because we know, obviously we know Sirius's backstory. So to hear him say those things about Sirius is like really heartbreaking. You know, like, oh, you know, had he already been working for Voldemort? No, because he never did, you know, but
I'm also going to throw in here that these are probably questions that Remus has been asking himself for the last 12 years.
Yeah.
You're welcome for that heartbreak.
Oh, Remus.
So Ron does come to check on Harry, but Harry, like, just pretends he's asleep. He's, like, drawn all the curtains on his bed.
This is very reminiscent of Order of the Phoenix, Harry.
Yeah.
A glimpse into the future.
Harry has to deal with a lot. And Harry feels a hatred he's never known before, and it courses through him like poison. That's how Joe describes it. So he obviously doesn't sleep well that night, and he doesn't get up till late in the morning. And Hermione's like, Harry, you look terrible.
So is this a weekend?
It's holiday.
Oh,
it's the holidays.
Right.
Which actually,
Christmas.
I think this is the first day
of
their holiday. So clearly Hermione and Ron had rehearsed while he was sleeping, like, what they wanted to say to him, because they're telling him, like, don't do anything stupid. Don't go after him. He isn't worth dying for. And here's another sad thing. Harry tells them what he hears when the Dementors get too close. So he says, I can hear my mom screaming and pleading with Voldemort. And if you'd heard your mom screaming like that, just about to be killed, you wouldn't forget it in a hurry. And if you found out someone who was supposed to be her friend of hers betrayed her and sent Voldemort after her, like, all this stuff that this kid has to deal with.
It's heartbreaking.
But Hermione's like, there's nothing you can do. Black's going to get caught. He'll go back to Azkaban. And Harry just keeps shooting down everything they're saying. He's like, Black isn't affected by Azkaban like normal people. Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, reading this section of this book again, like, seeing Harry in this situation, I think that as somebody who has read the books so many times and seen the movies so many times, sometimes you get caught up in your favorite character and you just like kind of forget really how amazing Harry is as a character. Like, because I always say, I'm like, it's funny that whenever you ask somebody who their favorite character is, like, they hardly ever say Harry, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's always some obscure character or, I don't know, like, Hermione is a popular one. But, like, hardly anybody says Harry. And I think that whenever you see him in these situations, like, you really see how awesome of a character he really is.
He's a very strong person.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, deep with his thinking and I don't know, it clearly Harry was intriguing to me as a kid when I was reading this the first time, because like, well, how would I ever get through the books the first time if I didn't like Harry? But I think sometimes we take him for granted.
I would agree.
I agree
and this like really makes me feel that.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff he has to deal with is, I don't know if I can handle it like as a 27-year-old adult, right. You know. So Ron's like, so what are you saying? Like, you don't want to kill Black, do you? And Harry doesn't answer because he really doesn't know what he wants to do. All he knows is that the idea of doing nothing while Black is still out there is almost more than he can stand.
I totally understand that feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you can see something happening and like you want to change it, but you don't know how you can change it.
Well, first of all, he can't change the fact that his parents are dead.
Right.
Yeah. And like now that he knows someone else is responsible for it other than Voldemort, like who led Voldemort to
all
kill them.
All that hatred was on Voldemort until now, you know?
Yep.
Not that it shouldn't be on Voldemort, but...
Right. So if you remember back to that conversation when Malfoy came back to potions class and he was having Ron cut up his shrivel figs or something.
Yeah, little jerk.
He had mentioned, like, if it was me, I'd hunt him down myself. I'd want revenge. So Harry realizes now, oh my God, Malfoy knows. Like, he knows that Sirius did these things. And Ron's like, what? So you're going to take his advice over ours? And we find out from Ron, who found out from his dad, who told Pavarti, who told Dean, that all Peter Pettigrew's mother got back from him was the Order of Merlin First Class and Peter's finger in a box. That's kind of really important.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But a finger in a box?
Yes.
It just is gross to me.
It's pretty like, gross.
Did she bury it?
Oh. I don't know.
Have it cremated.
Peter lost a finger.
Stick it on the mantelpiece.
Oof. So Harry's barely listening to Ron and Hermione, even though they're trying to reason with him. They're like, look, Malfoy would love to see you blown to smithereens. This is, if you go after him, that's exactly what Black wants. He wants you to play right into his hands. And this is another saddest thing ever. Hermione's like, your mom and dad wouldn't want you to get hurt, would they? They would never want you to go looking for Black and Harry. I'll never know what they'd have wanted because thanks to Black, I've never spoken to them. And it just goes silent.
Well, do you think he was talking when they died? Like, at that age? Because he's a year and a half. He probably did speak to his parents.
Sarah!
I'm just saying. He just doesn't remember. Just being
it's
honest.
It's pretty crazy that he was a year and a half. Sometimes I forget about that.
He probably was talking a little bit.
Think of how many times...
mom and dad.
I bet you he, like... got snuggled to sleep by Sirius.
Yeah, probably.
And now he thinks that he, like, killed everybody. But really,
but he didn't.
He rocked him to sleep and then did, like, I don't know, pranks on his parents.
So sad. So Ron's like, all right, how about we go visit Hagrid? It's the holidays, it's Christmas. And Harry, instead of being like, yeah, this will calm me down, he's like, yeah, let's go talk to him. I want to find out why he had never mentioned anything about... Mm. My parents being betrayed. And I like the part when they go through the portrait hole and Sir Cadogan's like, stand and fight, you yellow bellied mongrels.
Yellow belly. Yelly belly.
Can I add that to the
yelly belly mongrels?
In case we don't come up with something better.
Alrighty. So they head down to Hagrid's and immediately. They can see he opens the door and he is not a happy camper. So, okay, just to go back, the trio is heading down to Hagrid's hut. And then I want to read Joe's description again her descriptions in general are amazing.
I thought you just said the trees heading down to Hagertut, and I got really confused.
Oh, the trio. So she writes in the book, the Forbidden Forest looked as though it had been enchanted. Each tree smattered with silver, and Hagrid's cabin looked like an iced cake.
Yum.
I just love her little descriptions. So anyway, so they knock on the door. They hear low throbbing moans and think maybe it's Fang, but it was actually Hagrid, and he's crying. Poor he Hagrid. Nearly collapses as he flings himself at Harry. They finally get him to go back inside. Yes.
I was just saying I'd give him a raven cuddle because I know he's sad.
I know. And I don't blame him for being sad. This Me sucks. Me either. So he reads them a letter on the table, and I'm going to find it. I highlighted it. Shouldn't take me long.
Do, 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 do. It's still clicking.
Oh, it did not register my highlight, but I found it. Okay. So it says, Dear Mr. Hagrid, further to our inquiry into the attack by a hippogriff on a student in your class, we have accepted the assurances of Professor Dumbledore that you bear no responsibility for the regrettable incident. And immediately Ron goes, well, that's okay then, Hagrid. But Hagrid waves him off and invites Harry to continue reading. However, we must register our concern about the hippogriff in question. We have decided to uphold the official complaint of Mr. Lucius Malfoy.
Boo.
And this matter will therefore be taken to the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures. The hearing will take place on April 20th, and we ask you to present yourself and your hippogriff at the committee's offices in London on that date. In the meantime, the hippogriff should be kept tethered and isolated. Yours in fellowship. And then it was all of the school governors.
Go ahead.
Mine's not that important.
That is mine.
Okay. Just when I hear, like, Dear Mr. Hagrid, sometimes I forget that his first name is Rubius. Were you going to say the
no,
same
no,
thing?
No, 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 no. But I was like, yeah.
So I'm like, why are they saying, like, Dear Mr. Hagrid? That just sounds weird, but Hagrid's his last name. Yeah. I keep forgetting, like, no one ever calls him, like, Rubius or, like, Ruby. Like, hey, R-H, her.
Ruru.
Yeah. That's what my friend calls her dog, because his name is Rudiger.
That's what we call
our cat Rookie.
Ruru. I was going to say that I like the idea of picturing a buckbeak walking, like, through London, getting to the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah, like, I wonder if they have a specific spot in London for them to, like, land or apparate to.
I'm sure they do, but how do you do that with a beast? Can you do that?
It's weird,
I don't know.
And, like, especially if it's not tame, according to them.
I wonder if they borrowed Newt's case.
Oh, maybe. Newt's maybe.
Well, maybe Newt Scamander has those license, and he just sells cases like that, so you can hide multitudes of sins in the cases.
He'd make a lot of money.
I would think so.
And then he gives them back to the beasts.
So Hagrid says that the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures has it in for interesting creatures. And then the three of them suddenly realize that Buckbeak is in the cabin with them when they hear him chewing on something that was oozing blood all over the floor. Hagrid says he couldn't keep him out in the snow, so he has them in his house. So I tried to look up stuff on the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures, and they're really...
I thought that said CDC, and I was why would they have anything to do with Harry Potter and the CDC? If you don't know what that is, it's the Centers for Disease Control, right?
So it just says on the Wikia that the committee is responsible for the execution of any magical creatures deemed to be a threat to the wizarding world. In 1722, the committee sentenced a hippogriff to death, and the method of execution was described by Herm as disgusting.
Oh.
Alrighty. So, Herm insists that all Hagrid needs is a good defense, but Hagrid says that it won't make any difference. The disposal committee is in Lucius Malfoy's pocket. Basically, he's going to pay them to do exactly what he wants. Unfortunately, he kind of is right?
Yeah, it's really sad. Politics.
And if they lose the case, Hagrid drew a finger swiftly across his throat that gave a great wail and lurched forward, his face in his arms, because he knows that Buckbeak is just going to get sentenced to death. He doesn't want to go to Dumbledore because Dumbledore has already done so much for him and he has so much on his plate already with Sirius Black being on the run and the Dementors at the castle. So then Ron and Hermione look at Harry like, don't start yelling at him about Sirius. But of course, Harry, he can't do it anyway because, like, look at poor Hagrid. So Hermione offers to help him out with the case, as Hermione would.
Mm-hmm.
So she remembers reading when a hippogriff got off from... She doesn't know exactly what the case or the trial is about, but she remembers reading something about a hippogriff getting off. So she promises to do her research for him. and then Ron suggests making tea, which I think is just cute because, like, that's just something immediately that Mrs. Weasley would offer to do, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, in a time of comfort, let's just have some tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also just a very British thing.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I feel like on the Big Bang Theory, that's what Sheldon, he's like, can I make you a cup of tea when people are, like, sad?
Yeah. And so they finally calm Hagrid down. And Hagrid starts talking about how he's convinced nobody likes his classes. I feel like this is kind of just, like, reason for him to just start blubbering about everything that's been bothering him, you know? He's just, like, getting it off his chest. Ron lies to him and is like, no, it's so great. He asks how the flubberworms are. And then Hagrid just says they're dead. They've been given too much lettuce. And Ron just, like, fakes. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I'm shocked you did not say, like, yeah, because lettuce sucks.
Well, I mean, it does. I think everybody should know that. Of course, too much lettuce would kill you. It's nasty.
You call them flubberworms?
Flubberworms.
I call them flobberworms.
I guess they are flobberworms, aren't they? That's how it looks. I've always called them flubberworms.
I call them wiggly worms.
I call them.
I call them Stanley.
What?
So then Hagrid brings up Azkaban because he's thinking about the time that he was back there in Chamber as he thinks about being back there every time he walks by one of the Dementors. Because, you know, it, like, brings up your bad memories, right?
I think of this podcast.
Oh, but do you? Let's see if I can find this reading chapter. Did it save the highlight here? Probably not. Because Amazon sucks.
Why don't you have a real book?
I could. Oh, that would
shoot the shooters, guys. I'm sorry.
Hiccuping. Oh, here we go. And them Dementors make me feel ruddy, terrible, and all, said Hagrid with a sudden shudder. Gotta walk past them every time I want a drink in the Three Broomsticks. It's like being back in Azkaban. And then Hermione asks if it's awful in there. He says, you have no idea, said Hagrid quietly. Never been anywhere like it. Thought I was going mad. Kept going over horrible stuff in me mind. The day I got expelled from Hogwarts. The day me dad died. The day I had to let Norbert go. His eyes filled with tears. You can really remember who you are after a while. You can't really remember who you are after a while. And you can't see the point of living at all. I used to hope I'd just die in me sleep. When they let me out, it was like being born again. Everything came flooding back. It was the best feeling in the world. Mind the Dementors weren't keen on letting me go.
Knowing now, like, again, like, having this reread as an adult and knowing that, like, she paralleled that with depression.
Yeah.
And reading it through, like, knowing that's what she was, that's essentially what that a Dementor is. Like, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To a T, you know? And yeah. It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
It sucks.
So Hagrid also thought of just letting Buckbeak go. But he, because, you know, he's thinking about Azkaban, he's like, oh, well, if I let Buckbeak go, then they'll know that I let him go, and then maybe I'll get sent to Azkaban. And, like, he never wants to go back there again. Obviously, who does?
Me.
Nah. So,
do you think they have tours?
To round out the trip to Hagrid's.
Do you think they have tours of Azkaban?
Like, they Alcatraz? Might not.
Yeah.
To round out, the trip to Hagrid's was not fun like they had thought. Ron and Hermione, like, were hoping that it was gonna kind of lighten the mood for Harry, but it definitely didn't. It kind of just, like, brought them down a little bit, and Harry definitely did not forget about Sirius by going there. But he couldn't brood on revenge when he wanted to help Hagrid win his case, which I think again shows, like, some great character in Harry. He's willing to put aside this revenge and anger that he feels towards Black, because he knows that like his true friend needs help right now. And him, Ron, and Hermione are going to help him. So the trio go to the library the next day and return to the common room with a ton of books. And they highlighted some stuff that they read in the book so that they could go back and talk to Hagrid about it. But the castle, what? The castle, what? Highlighted some stuff they read in the book. Oh.
What?
I love you.
It's okay. It's okay.
They like pulled some stuff. Oh, right. Yeah. So this was the case that Hermione was talking about. She said, here's something. I think this is Hermione talking.
I don't think it says who it is.
It doesn't say. I always thought it was Hermione. Here's something. I did as well. There was a case in 1722, but the hippogriff was convicted. Look what they did to it. That's disgusting.
1776.
This might help. Look, a manticore savaged someone in 1296, and they let the manticore off. Oh, no, that was only because everyone was too scared to go near it.
Doesn't seem like they're having much luck.
Yeah, no, they don't. They're not doing too well here with some help.
I don't think it would be in the favor of the beast.
No.
Be like Beauty and the Beast, but like not nice for kids to watch. If you know what I mean.
So, meanwhile, the castle's getting ready for Christmas. It says, the rest of the castle, the usual magnificent Christmas decorations had been put up, despite the fact that hardly any of the students remained to enjoy them. Thick streamers of holly and mistletoe were strung along the corridors, mysterious lights shone from inside every suit of armor, and the great hall was filled with its usual 12 Christmas trees, glittering with golden stars. A powerful and delicious smell of cooking pervaded the corridors, and by Christmas Eve it had grown so strong that even Scabbers poked his nose out of the shelter of Ron's pocket to sniff hopefully at the air.
When do they go on holiday?
I would think that it's like the week before Christmas.
So they only
get like the week before and the week after?
Well, I'm thinking like they, but it's different in America. I'm thinking like decoration wise.
Oh, yeah. Because I think that like, it's really popular in other countries to decorate Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yes, there are some cultures where they like literally do everything Christmas Eve. I'm
not about that life.
I tend to, it honestly depends on my mood, tend to be a like weekend of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like set everything up type of person.
Because I was allowed, it's my favorite time of year. Do it right after Halloween.
I always say like December is my favorite month. I love December 1st through December 24th.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like Christmas Day. No, I really like Christmas time. I love Christmas Eve. I prefer it over
the Christmas time.
I do, because like as much as like I don't shop during that time, I try to avoid all humans at malls and places where you can buy things.
Amazon,
because it
baby.
Just gets crazy. But like people tend to be like cheery and the music is beautiful and like I hope there's snow, and so you like you're all cold and you're bundled up and y'all look cute in your little layers and like
your
there's
scarf.
Christmas lights everywhere and like it's just a magical time of year. So like I like that we, at least in America, because we have Thanksgiving, so in our minds, so Thanksgiving's always the third Thursday of
November.
I wanted to say of Thanksgiving. And so like that to us is like our marker where after that we're gonna, it's Christmas time.
It's go time.
Yeah.
This year, while I should be decorating, we'll be on our way to New York City.
New York.
New York, New York. I don't know. I just made that up.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
People say New York, New York because it's a song.
I made it up.
Okay.
All right, guys. All right.
All right. So people in England and everywhere, not just in America, or if you live in America and you celebrate Christmas, and I want to know, when do you guys like start setting up?
Yeah, when do you decorate?
Do you do the whole, I know there's cultures that do it, literally they have like a whole thing Christmas Eve where they bring out like the Christmas tree and they all decorate it together. So let us know. I'd love to know.
We always try to do it Black Friday, right?
We try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we all have our own traditions,
mm-hmm.
too. So
tradition.
And I know there's traditions like in like everybody's families anyways, you know? That whole like hiding a pickle thing in a Christmas tree, we never did that. I don't even know what we do. I'm trying to think. Do you have a real tree, not a fake tree? What do you do? I prefer real, even though I'm technically allergic to them. Don't care. All right, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it was Christmas time. I just really want it to be, like, cold.
No.
Let's not skip over Halloween, guys.
I mean, I enjoy Halloween, too, but I also hope it's cold.
I love me some Halloween.
I'm excited.
I do the hide a pickle thing. Well, I try to. I used to. I don't have an ornament anymore. I need to get another one, but I loved doing that.
I'm excited to see what my niece will be for Halloween. So
Pooh Bear, perhaps.
I don't think she will be.
How about I don't want it to be cold.
Might be Piglet.
Well, that would be cute too.
She calls
just
her Piglet.
Somebody from Pooh Bear.
Well, her nursery is Pooh themed.
I know.
Pooh themed. All right, she's so cute, guys. I can't stand it. She's just adorable.
Did you guys miss me? Because it's my turn again.
Oh, what?
Oh, there's more yellow.
Serious question. Who are you?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I'm Harry Potter. That's the question. That's the answer.
Harry Potter.
Singing our song.
All day long.
At Hogwarts.
So, Harry was woken up on Christmas morning by Ron throwing a pillow at him and yelling, "Oi! Presents!"
I just love it.
That's so Ron.
I know. So, Ron gets another maroon sweater and socks, which he's not very pleased about. And Harry gets
suck it up.
I know, right? Your mother knitted it for you. Harry gets a scarlet sweater from Mrs. Weasley with a big Gryffindor lion knitted on the front. Yes.
Why doesn't he get one with his initial?
I don't know. Maybe she only does that for children.
Maybe he does after him and Jenny get married.
That's basically like her child.
She even
says
that.
The second she sees him, she's like, yep, gained another son. Welcome to the family. I'm going to have my daughter slip you a love potion. Just kidding. I think it's genuine.
Genuine?
Genuine.
Oh.
Pulling out the puns here.
So Mrs. Weasley also sends him a dozen home.
Hey, kid, I know you got a lot of galleons all up in your wizarding bank. How about you pass some along? I could sure use them. I had a lot of kids. A lot of hungry mouths to feed. I'll sell you my daughter.
Oh, my God. She graciously gifts Harry a dozen home-baked mince pies, some Christmas cake, and a box of nut brittle.
Did she send her son any of these things, or just Harry?
I don't know. It's Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, not Ron Weasley.
It should be Ron Weasley, because he'd be like, Hermione doesn't like me.
I got maroon again.
Why does her cat want to take my rat?
Scabbers! Are you guys trying to say that Ron is whiny?
You know, he can be. I love him.
I love him, too.
So, under all these wonderful things from Mrs. Weasley, there's a long, thin package.
Ooh, what's that?
I don't know. Harry rips it open and gasps. A magnificent, gleaming broomstick rolled onto his bedspread. That's what it did when it came out, too.
And of course, saying, I'm a firebolt. You're going to ride me and win a lot of games. We're going to fly in the sky and go real high and real fast. Sarah. But not before I get stripped down by the professors.
All thanks to Hermione Granger. She's the worst.
Okay, I wouldn't say she's the worst.
Ron and Harry think she is right now.
Well, you know what? By the end of this book, they're going to realize how bad that rat is.
They're also
should have killed him when I had the chance.
In a couple years, might realize just how much he loves Hermione.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, he will.
Okay. Good. So, of course, Harry Potter would get...
The singing firebolt.
Have you guys ever
Hello
seen...
Hello, world, I'm a firebolt, I'm magnificent, and gleaming.
Mine was better.
Have you guys ever seen The Three Amigos?
No.
Oh,
I just have one thing to say. Beverly, Jessica, or Lacey, write us a firebolt song, Kate. Thanks, bye.
Make it ridiculous.
From the firebolt's perspective.
Yes.
I expect it by Monday.
Oh my God, give them like 2 days.
Monday, Monday by 5 p.m.
Our time. Eastern Standard Time.
Get to work.
August 8th, 6th?
Yes. At 5 p.m.
If you do get it by then, we'll put it in our next Felix Files just for you.
Yep.
Yes.
If not, we'll never talk to you again. Just
never.
Kidding.
Of course we would. So.
I'm just saying that Oh Swish and Flick song that Lacey wrote has literally been stuck in my head.
Yes. I agree.
Who's Lacey?
Who's Harry Potter?
I don't know.
I don't know who anybody
What's
is.
What's a firebolt?
I know what a firebolt is.
Okay, Tiffany. She was getting so mad at me in the car, so I was just like, it's a broom. Because she's like, say it. And I was like, it. And it. So I was like, well, the broom did this. She goes, I can't stand you.
I love when she says that. I can't stand you.
So the firebolt is all magnificent. Its handle glitters. When Harry lets go of it.
The glittering handle.
People are going to hate us on this episode.
Oh, well.
When he lets go of it, it just hangs in midair. Unsupported at exactly the right height for him to mount it. There's a golden registration number. I think it's hand numbered as well on the glittering handle.
It's a hand numbered.
You guys are not allowed to drink wine anymore when we podcast.
I'm not even.
I know. I
me
know.
This
me. Is just,
that's her being wineful.
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 You know who else is wineful? Ron.
Ron.
My name is Ron.
My name Bruno was
no one loves me. My wife likes Harry Potter better, and so does my sister.
Well, I don't like roast beef sandwiches.
Corned beef.
No, it was roast beef.
No, it's corned beef.
In the first movie, it's roast beef.
It's corned beef.
I love roast beef.
Pretty sure it's roast
it's
beef.
It's corned beef.
Let's talk about this broom, man.
Yeah, so
we're
it's also.
About Ron.
This stuff's shiny and glittery.
It's
also got gold on it.
Perfectly smooth and yeah, streamlined birch twigs for the tail. So I looked up Firebolt on Pottermore, and this is some writing from J.K. Rowling. We'll post the link, but I just wanted to pull a little bit of fun facts from it. So.
Fun facts.
The Firebolt was developed by Randolph Spudmore.
Randolph?
Spudmore.
So he was
come back.
I need control. So he was the first to use goblin made ironwork, which like included the footrest and the stand and the twig bands, and the secrets of which are not fully understood, but which seem to give the firebolt additional stability and power.
So do you think that, so like the goblins think that firebolts are all theirs because it's goblin made?
Well, actually, what did I read somewhere? I don't remember, so I'm not going to say it because it's probably wrong.
Goblins made the ironwork.
Another fun fact. It's so costly that Harry Potter was among the first to own one. Oh, here it is. It continues to be made in relatively small quantities, partly because the goblin workers involved in the patented ironwork are prone to strikes and walkouts at the smallest. I can't say that word. When they're provoked. Thank you.
Provocation, I think.
Thank you. So maybe they do get in fights. They're like, well, that's our ironwork.
USA! 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 Goblin made! Goblin made! Goblin made!
So the boys are just in awe, and they're trying to figure out who sent it because there was no note. So Ron's like, I know.
Gone! That's what I read when I was reading. Like, that's in my head when I was reading that.
You could have died!
You could have seen!
So Ron's like, I know, it's Dumbledore. He sent you to the invisibility cloak. But Harry's like, nah, that was just him passing down something that was my dad's. Dumbledore can't, like, be spending hundreds of galleons on me, and he can't just, like, go giving students like that. And Ron was like, well, that's why he sent it anonymous.
Harry, you're special.
If anybody can draw, like, you know those cartoons where they're, like, Snape is, like, they're like the ones where, and you see Dumbledore like dancing, not dancing, but he's like, I don't care, I'm Dumbledore. And he'll be like, or we need Professor Snape. And he's like, I'll get him. And he goes, Harry Potter. And then like Snape comes in and says something like, I could just see Dumbledore being like, I'll buy him a wand. Or not a wand. What are we talking
a
about?
A fireball.
And he's like,
what are we talking about?
I'll buy him a wand. And he's like, hundreds of dollars. It's for Harry Potter. You know what I mean?
So true.
I want to know why, like, they're all, oh, yeah, Dumbledore totally bought you a broom. Oh, it's from the school. When, like, nobody would get Ron a wand.
Right. Because J.K. Rowling wrote it like that.
Oh, okay.
Very yeah. sing-songy.
Good answer.
You're welcome.
But Ron's like, that's why he sent it anonymously, in case some git like Malfoy says it was favoritism. And then he's like, Malfoy, wait until he sees you on this. He's going to be sick as a pig.
Sick as a pig.
The cow that broke the camel's back, man. Sick as a pig.
So then Ron's like, I know, Lupin. And Harriet laughs. He's like, if he had that much gold, he would buy himself some new robes.
Which probably, well, you know what? I bet you he wouldn't, though.
I could see him being,
he would be,
what's
super
the word, frugal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ron's like, yeah, but he likes you, and he was away when the Nimbus was smashed. And Harry's like, what do you mean he was away? He was ill. And Ron's like, well, I was serving my detention in the hospital wing, cleaning out the bedpans, and he wasn't there.
What do you think that means?
I don't
Who
know.
Knows? Maybe he has a secret lover that he's going to visit.
Guys, maybe he's
a vampire.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Were you really?
Yeah.
She's
you
trying.
Stole my line.
She's trying to be funny and be like, "We all know he's a werewolf, so maybe he's a vampire."
He's a what?
We're gonna find out.
Oh, so cue Herm with Crookshanks and Grumpy Ron, because Herm isn't very pleased to know that Harry doesn't know who sent the broom. She's like, it's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, this is supposed to be quite a good broom, isn't it? And Ron's like, it's the best broom there is, Hermione. I know.
Even just rehearing being like, Hermione, it's supposed to be a good broom. They're like, no, the best broom ever made.
Hermione, ever. Stop. You don't know what you're talking about.
And she's like, I don't think anyone should ride it. And Ron's like, what do you think Harry's going to do with it? Sweep the floor?
Carry it around.
But before Hermione can answer, Crookshanks pounces, always after that Scabbers. And Ron tries to kick him and accidentally kicks Harry's trunk, and the sneakoscope dislodges itself from Uncle Vernon's socks, and it starts whirring. But why? What could be so distrustworthy that it would go off?
I don't know. Maybe it's the firebolt.
Maybe it really is, Jinx.
Maybe it's Harry.
Maybe Harry's just not trustworthy.
I mean, technically, though, couldn't it go off because Harry's a Horcrux?
Or maybe he wants to date Ron's sister. And Ron's like, no, you're not trustworthy. Don't date my sister.
You're a Horcrux.
So Hermione stalks out with Crookshanks because Ron's like, get him out of here. And Scabbers is out of Ron's pocket for the first time in a while. And Harry gets to get a good look at him. And he was unpleasantly surprised to see Scabbers, once so fat, was now very skinny with patches of fur missing. And Ron's like, it's stress. Yeah, he's actually right, it is, but not about a cat. And Harry can't help but feeling that unless Scabbers has powers he had never revealed, and he does, then he was reaching the end of his life. As much as Ron complained about Scabbers, he'd probably be pretty sad if he died. But none of us would be.
My name is Ron. No. I'm going to complain about my rat, even though I hate him.
So Herm and Ron are like still fuming at each other. And Harry's like, guys, I'm tired of trying to be in the middle of this. I'm just going to stare at my firebolt.
Start my fireball?
Stare at.
Oh. I was like, how are you going to start it? All right.
Yeah, my name is Ron and I hate Hermione.
He doesn't, though.
Right now he does.
So, guys, today's the day. It's Christmas Day.
What?
Hooray.
Did you get me a present?
Five.
I did, actually. I have a present for everybody.
I just think of that song when I think of Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yes. So the children who are monsters and didn't go home to see their families, or Harry, whose family hates him and doesn't want him there, have opened their presents.
Oh, my God. Way to start your section out on the
And they're
foot.
Heading down to the Great Hall. So all the tables were moved against the wall, so a single table stood in the middle of the room. The professors McG, my man Flitwick, the OK Snape, Dumbledore, and Sprout were there. And Flitwick, not Flitwick. I mean, Filch. He was there. Filch, who was wearing an old, moldy-looking tailcoat. His coat. He's trying to be all fancy-like, you know?
Who's he dressing up for, Mrs. Norris?
Probably.
Who knows? So there were only three other students, two extremely nervous first years, and a sullen-faced Slytherin fifth year seated at the table as well. So, first of all, let me pause a moment and think about that makes what? Seven students, right?
Uh-huh. Whoa.
So out of all of these kids, do you think that all of them left because they were scared about Sirius Black being on the loose?
Their parents probably wanted them to come home.
And then do you think that Hermione and Ron were asked by like McGee or Dumbledore to like stay behind to stay with Harry?
I think they chose themselves.
They would have done that on their own.
But like Ron's whole family went back home. I'm just thinking. Like I would think
maybe Mr. Weasley asked Ron, like, hey, will you stay with him to make sure he doesn't do anything?
I don't want to stay at school.
But I'm curious. I don't want to stay at school. I'm Ron. I like to complain.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We love Ron. Like, we really do.
I do love Ron. Do you think that, like, why wouldn't Mrs. Weasley just ask him to come home?
The safest place is with Dumbledore at Hogwarts.
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, but you
it
think
just seems weird.
You would think that, like, if Sirius Black can get into Hogwarts, because he did right. by this point, that, you know, who knows what they were thinking. Dumb
they
adults.
Weren't.
So Dumbledore tells them it seemed silly to have multiple tables when there were only a few people for the table. So the trio sit down side by side at the end of the table. Dumbledore is in a festive mood, and he makes Snape share a large silver cracker with him. And it opens with a bang and revealed a large pointed witch hat topped with a stuffed vulture. So Ron and Harry find this funny because, you know, Neville's Bogart. And they share a grin whilst Snape is not amused at all. And so he pushes the hat towards Dumbledore. And then Dumbledore's like, y'all, let's start eating. We got some grub. So Harry is piling...
Dining with Dumbledore.
It's our newest segment on the podcast. Dining with Dumbledore. So Harry's piling some roasted potatoes on his plate when the doors to the Great Hall open, and in comes Professor Trelawney wearing a green sequined dress in honor of the occasion, and it makes her look like a glittering, oversized dragonfly.
I love Harry's description of Trelawney always.
My nose itches. So Dumbledore seems a bit surprised to find her in the hall, and she tells him that she had been crystal gazing, and to her astonishment, she saw herself leave her lonely tower and come to join them. And so who is she to refuse the promptings of fate? So Dumbledore welcomes her, draws up a chair for her to sit at the table right between McGee and Snape. What a lovely place to sit. I would probably call it between a rock and a hard place. We all know that McGee is not a big fan of hers, and I would be shocked
for Trelawney
to my core. Correct. Yeah, I would be shocked to my core to find out that Snape liked her. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think.
He probably finds her very irritating.
Yes. So I'm sure they are just thrilled, but Trelawney doesn't sit down right away, so her enormous eyes had been roving around the table, and she suddenly uttered a kind of soft scream. I dare not, headmaster. If I join the table, we shall be 13. Nothing could be more unlucky. Never forget that when 13 dine together, the first to rise will be the first to die.
What?
Whoa.
Wait, when 13 Dumbledine?
What?
When 13 Dumbledine?
Dining with Dumble. We don't die when we dine with Dumble, though.
I said Dumble dine. Oh, got it.
So I wanted to talk about these things a little bit. So I don't know if you guys realize, because people are like, well, this doesn't make sense, because then the first people to get up, because we see a little bit later, are Ron and Harry. But if you count Scabbers, there were already 13 at the table. The first person to rise from the table was Dumbledore. And he's the first one to die.
Whoa!
You guys didn't know this?
No, I did. I was just being excited for the others on the podcast, and maybe didn't. And then I was listening.
A little bit later on in the books, when they are at Grimmauld Place, there happened to be 13 dining at the table.
Oh no!
Is it Sirius?
And Sirius is the first one to get up.
No!
And then again later in book 7, after they
Snape.
No.
Oh.
When they are all at the Burrow after they get Harry, and after Moody dies, there's 13 at the table, and the first one to stand up is Remus, and he was the next one to die.
Why did you stand? Sit.
Arthur should have stood.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just kidding. Kind of.
Okay. And then, so I put in, we'll put it on there. There's seven times that Professor Trelawney got it right. And so it talks a little bit about the 13.
Katie.
Sorry. Sleeping.
So we'll put that up there because that talks about that time specifically at this table, which is like crazy. You know, how weird that that happens.
Agreed.
And then on the Wikia, I'm going to talk about the number 13 a little bit in general. So Lord Voldemort's wand is 13 and a half inches long. Peter Pettigrew murdered 12 people after betraying James and Lily. And then faking his own death. So as a result, Sirius Black was wrongly convicted for the murder of 13 people. And he was imprisoned in Azkaban.
For 12 years.
Yeah. And then Barty Crouch Jr.'s escape from Azkaban prison in 1982 was not known publicly until 1995, 13 years later. Lord Voldemort spent 13 years of his life without a body. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
It's my not hot body and I do what I want.
Yeah. And then I thought this one was really cool. So 13 people came to collect Harry Potter from number 4 for Privet Drive. Mind you, when I say we, I mean like me and most people know that, or at least associate 13 with being an unlucky number.
Yeah.
Unless you're Taylor Swift.
So it
truth.
Is, okay.
Preach it, girl.
They have on this, they say, so it's possible that this contributed to the bad luck experienced by these wizards and witches on this operation because one of the 13 died, which was Alistair Moody.
Womp womp.
And then another fun fact, a lot of times when you go to hotel rooms and they have more than 13 floors, technically it is the 13th floor, but they don't have it numbered as that. So it'll be like 10, 11, 12, 14. So they skip 13. That's a fun fact. I always like to look in the elevators, even though I don't like being in them. But fun fact.
I need to look for that next time.
Yeah, you should. It's pretty cool. So McGee, who's probably the biggest skeptic, is like, nah, girl, just whatever. She literally says, we'll risk it. Do sit down. The turkey's getting stone cold. You think with a little bit of magic, she'd be able to, like, make sure it doesn't get cold.
Warm that right up.
So Trelawney sits down reluctantly.
Presto, hotto. That would be the spell.
Okay. Sure.
I love Sarah's response whenever somebody else tries to say something funny.
Because it's that.
Like, okay.
I'm the only funny one on this podcast.
I'm hilarious.
You're hilarious. That was Sarah's old zinger.
So she sits down reluctantly and she seems super nervous. Her eyes and mouth clenched tight. So I can think of something, but I won't say it. Thinking about when you're clenched. So she asked where Lupin is, but unfortunately he is ill again.
Oh,
poor and baby.
I did look it up to see like roughly when the full moon was that year for Christmas.
Sarah, I love you.
But it's not till December 29th was when the full moon happened. So like he's probably like just...
not feeling very well.
Yeah. Probably not feeling up to company, you know?
Not feeling up to being cheery on Christmas.
Yeah.
I bet you, and honestly, you know, though, Christmas is probably hard for him.
Yes. I was going to say that as well. So he's probably already feeling, because, you know, your symptoms get a little bit worse the closer you get to the full moon. And then he's probably emotionally really sad. And I bet you seeing Harry for the first time in years and, like, thinking all of those things. Sadness. Is my
I think
favorite
also,
character from
like,
upside,
I wonder,
out.
I wonder if back in the day, like Christmas may have been spent with the Potters, you know,
for sure.
So,
and like, think of Harry's first Christmas.
I know. Don't make me think about it.
Well, right. I don't know where I left off. My hand really itches.
You were talking about Trelawney.
No, I was talking actually about Lupin. So we know that he is ill. We know it's probably because the full moon and such things.
We know that I will cuddle him back to health.
Snuggle the werewolf.
Oh.
Okay. So McGee's being a sassy lady.
Okay.
And she says, but surely you already knew that, Sybil, said Professor McGonagall, her eyes raised. Professor Trelawney gave Professor McGonagall a very cold look.
Ooh.
Because she's basically, before she was like, it's unfortunate. Dumbledore's like, it's unfortunate that he's sick on Christmas Day. So she responds, certainly I knew, Minerva, she said quietly, but one does not parade the fact that one is all-knowing. I frequently act as though I am not possessed of the inner eye, so as not to make others nervous. That explains a great deal, said Professor McGonagall tartly. Ooh. I just freaking love it. So Professor Trelawney's voice suddenly became a good deal less misty. If you must know, Minerva, I have seen that poor Professor Lupin will not be with us for very long. He seems aware himself that his time is short. He positively fled when I offered to crystal gaze for him. Craziness. But here's my thing. Do you think she's like saying that, or like she knows that it's like basically a cursed jab?
I think she is just, again, reading the situation. She's very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give her that. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Sybil.
So McGee still doesn't...
Oh, Sybil. Sorry, I just really wanted to say that.
Okay. So McGee still...
Okay.
McGee still doesn't seem like a fan of Trelawney's, and Dumbledore rolls right into a good transition and asks Derek if he had tried the Chipolatas. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
That's
and
how
if
I
you
say
don't
it.
Know what those lovely things are, they're sausages.
Yeah, buddy.
Woo, 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 woo.
We have not talked about sausages in quite some time on this podcast.
Yeah, because yeah. You know, we haven't had a good feast.
Sausages.
Sausages.
So,
do you think Sarah likes sausages because she's sassy?
Sassy sausages.
Sausages. Sassy sausages.
Okay. That's what this should
okay.
be called. Yep. Or it should be called okay.
Oh, man, there's so many good ones. I'll put them all up there.
Let me think of where I was. So Derek takes the platter. You're screwing my stuff, man.
I'm sorry.
My name is Sarah and I like to complain. I should marry Ron.
I would love to marry Ron, but he's already married and has children. So Derek takes the platter of sausages with trembling hands. Is he just so excited for some meat? Or is he just nervous because it's Dumbledore handing him said plate of sausages?
Hold on. According to Joe, Ron and Hermione are probably going to get divorced. So you have a chance. I'm just saying.
He's also like older than me. So the rest of the meal went by smoothly. And 2 hours later, Harry and Ron got up from the table first. And then Trelawney starts to freak out, insisting on knowing which one got up first. Which one? Which one? And they're basically like, I don't know.
I don't know. Scabbers.
Yeah. McGee basically is like, it doesn't matter. We don't have some axe man on the run looking to kill the first person who walks out of the Great Hall. So Ron laughs and Harry asks Hermione if she's coming with them. But she's like, nah, bros. I got to talk to McGee. Before heading back to the cabin room.
What if that's really how this book was written?
Sorry,
nah,
bros.
I got to talk to McGee.
I want that to be like in Emma Watson's Valley Girl accent from the one movie Bling Ring. Sorry, bros. I have to talk to McGee before I come up to you.
Oh, my gosh. So Ron and Harry head back to the cabin room. Sir Cadogan is enjoying his own party with some monks, several previous headmasters, and his fat pony. So he drunkenly asks for the password, Ron gives it to him, and they get settled into the common room with Harry's new broom and broomstick servicing kit. But the broom is basically perfect. So Ron and Harry just like sat there and admired it from every angle. So they're sitting there looking at the cool broom, and they're like, God, it's just so beautiful. And in walks McGee and Hermione, and Harry's surprised because he's only seen McGee in the common room once, and she didn't have anything good to say when she was in there.
Chamber of secrets.
So Hermione goes to hide behind a book, and McGee seems super apprehensive about that broom that Ron and Harry can't stop looking at. So Ron and Harry, I feel like I'm saying that a lot. Ron and Harry. Can we give them a name?
Rary.
Rary.
Oh.
I dig it.
Or
because
Han
sounds too Star Wars-esque.
Oh, I think of Hans.
Who is this Hans?
So Rary are shocked that Hermione told McGee about the broom, and they give her a look. Her face was reddening over the top of her book that she had covering her face, and we see the book was upside down. So was she really reading, or is she trying to be like Luna? So McGee asks to look at the broom and seems worried that they don't know who sent it. No note, no card, no message of any kind. So Harry tells her,
no. You just like stopped so abruptly and we're like,
I forget why what he was saying no to, because she asked him like, oh, there wasn't like no one said anything, and he was like, no, there like no one, it just came like in a package. And so she gives him the bad news that she's going to have to take the broom. Harry is shocked and appalled. The broom needs to be checked for jinxes, and of course she is no expert, so she's going to have Madam Hooch and Flitwick look at it closer.
Hooch!
And like
Madam Hooch!
And like Luke Bryan, strip it down, just to be safe. He has a song that's
I figured.
Okay.
So Ron is horrified at the thought of stripping the broom down. Mick G reassures Harry it shouldn't take more than a couple of weeks, and he'll have it back if they are sure it is jinx-free. So Harry tries to reason with her. He is sure there's nothing wrong with the broom, but Mick G can't be swayed. And until we know it's safe for him to ride, he won't be getting it back. She will keep him informed. So Harry stared after her as she walked out of the common room, but Ron turned on his heel and starts on Hermione. He is outraged, shocked, outraged, and so angry, which is outraged. So he's mad that she went running to McGee about the broom. Hermione, who was still a little pink in the face, stands her ground and says that both her and McGee think the broom was probably sent by Sirius Black. Hashtag friends fighting. Hashtag they were right.
How crazy, though, that they're right. I mean, there's nothing to worry about, but they were right.
Correct. It's crazy. He got a broom from a dude that he's never really met, but he doesn't remember.
Sarah, that's your theme tune. It's always the same song, just different words.
Because I don't have anything good to do in my head. I can't think of new things to sing. Yeah.
You just got to take a song and, like, write to it.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. I like doing my own thing. Whatever, whatever. I do what I want.
Okay.
Let's do some lightning bolt round questions.
Would you have? How do you spell bolt? B O L T.
So why am I saying it? Like how is
bolt? You're saying it like B A L T. Bolt.
That's what I was asking. How I the word bolt. I say bolt.
Bolt.
Yeah. Bolt.
Fireball.
Fireball.
Bud likes a fireball.
Oh, would you have gone to McG about the firebolt?
I don't talk to no one.
I don't think I would.
In my backyard, I kiss my own snitch.
I thought you said you kiss your own snitch.
Catch it.
I catch it.
I would not, because I'm not a tattletale.
I don't think I would say
snitches
anything.
Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I would have said anything either.
Heck no.
Hermione, what's your problem, girl?
All right, what else can we ask?
What would you be excited about eating?
Any of the desserts. They didn't even list
sausages.
Them.
Sausages.
They didn't even list them, but I know they'd be good.
Chipolatas.
I'd eat all the food.
All the foods. I have a question. How, not really, but how irate will Tiffany be when she hears this episode?
She hasn't listened to any of them that she hasn't been on.
She'll never know.
Let's talk smack about Tiffany.
We love her.
What can I ask a question about?
What's your favorite scented candle?
It has nothing to do with this chapter.
There's a candle sitting on the table.
Is that like in Harry Potter?
Scents. Same.
My favorite scented candle is called Fireside. You can find it at Bath and Body Works.
What Same. Kind of sweater would you want to have knitted for you?
I'd want...
No, you have to sing your answer.
I'd want a yellow sweater with a black cat on it.
I'd want a green and silver Slytherin sweater.
How'd we get into like a church hymn?
I actually was kind of going for the mer people.
Oh, yeah. Sarah, what would you like?
I'd probably want a white and black sweater striped
vertical or horizontal.
Ha!
Horizontal. Let me try it again. Horizontal.
That was good.
Would you want anything else on it but the stripes, like a kitty cat or a dog?
No. Just the stripes.
Oh my god.
Would you help Hagrid in his quest to defeat Malfoy's evil plan to kill Buckbeak?
Of course I would. I would do anything I could. Questions would you like to ask us during the lightning bolt round questions?
I would also help Hagrid out.
Just for the record. Annoying.
Do you hate us? Do you still want to listen to us even though we're going to sing everything? Sarah's dying. It's okay.
Oh my god. All right. Anyway.
I'll have to edit some of that out.
Do we have any more questions or... Can I move on to this fan story?
Ask us a question.
The perfect level of annoying. Oh, I forgot.
You forgot.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Really would have been Swish and Flick after dark.
Are you done dying?
I think so. What do you? Who? What headmasters do you think were partying with Cadogan?
Dip it, because he's Dip the only other one I know.
Was he dead though?
Oh, I don't know. But do they have to be dead to get into the headmaster?
Oh, they don't have to be dead to be in a portrait. So yeah, he could have been.
Mm.
What do you think they were drinking?
Mead. Mold mead.
Yeah. How can you be a portrait and be drunk?
Yeah.
Look yes, at you absolutely can. Lady.
What if you were painted drunk? Are you always drunk?
I don't know.
Dear Joe.
Dear Joe, if you're painted drunk, are you forever
Mackenzie
drunk?
Says, someone else here asked who you'd want to sit next to at the Christmas feast.
I would be up in Remus Lupin's room cuddling the sick away. I would skip the feast.
I think that's not appropriate if you're a student to be cuddling a professor.
I didn't say I'd be a student.
People get fired for that. Well, we would also be 3 years old.
Oh, God.
So he'd be actually cradling you.
Aww.
Rocking you to sleep.
I would love that.
Patting you on the back.
Maybe I would be like the same age as Tonks, right?
Okay.
That is not true and terrible.
I mean, kind of true.
It's not.
JK, I digress.
JK, Roland.
I would want to sit next to... Trelawney. I think she would be a good laugh.
I agreed that I would want to sit at least near her, because I think she'd be pretty funny.
She'd be entertaining. I'd want to sit near her and Snape, just because I'd want to see Snape's reactions to her.
Yeah, like across the table from them.
I'd want to be like eavesdropping
in. That's a good... Dinner and a movie.
Yes.
All right, guys. I don't have any more questions.
Why
did I have to die in this episode?
Oh, my God. One of our listeners, Mackenzie, on the live chat we have says, I can hear Trelawney asking to pass the food. Meg, can you do your voice?
My dear, would you please pass the peas?
Can you ask someone to pass the sausages?
My dear, could you please pass the sausages?
No.
Yeah. Could you please pass the chipolatas?
I saw in my inner mind that you were passing me the chipolatas.
Don't eat that one. You'll get sick.
I just want to shout this out to Jess. She said, would you guys tell on Harry and Ron? Would ya? We already said that we would not.
No.
Jess. I would not.
Is that our
we would
Jess?
Not.
Yeah.
It is our Jess.
Did she know that she has homework?
Jess, do you know that you have homework to do?
Don't tell her again because I want her to have
you
the
have
time
to
limit.
Listen to the episode if you don't. Well, I guess you have to listen to us again, my dear.
Okay.
Okay, let's go on to the fan story.
The fan story. All right, so this one comes from Kate. She spells it C-A-I-T. Hey, I'm trying to read and you clicked out.
I'm sorry.
So she says, hello, Megan, Katie, Sarah, and Tiff. My name is Kate. I am 12, and this is my Potter story. So I have always been looking for something harder to read. Every book I would read would be too hard. So when I was 8 or 9, my mom had me try a book called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. After the first 2 chapters, I was hooked. I also am a fast reader, so I finished the series a month later. Wow. Now I am a proud Ravenclaw. Shout out to all Ravenclaws. And my Patronus is a Komodo dragon.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
My wand is Elderwood with dragon heartstrings, 11 3/4 inches, unyielding. This podcast was my first, and I love you four girls. It has taught me to be who I really am, which is a nerd and brainiac.
Everybody should be who they are.
And love me for it. You guys are really inspiring. Don't let the muggles get you down. Funny Potter story. There's a Wi-Fi network named Harry Potter. It needed a password. I put in Alohomora, and it worked.
That's great. I'm going to remember that when I ever see that.
Thank you very much, Kate, for sharing your story. I love hearing from everybody, mm-hmm. but I love hearing from the younger generation because mm-hmm. it just gives me hope that Harry Potter will live forever.
It will live forever.
He is a boy that lives forever, unlike Voldemort, who died at 71.
And also, I love that you're like always looking for harder books, even mm-hmm. when you're like 8 or 9, and that the book captured your attention in chapter 2, because I believe it didn't catch my attention until chapter 3, whichever one is Keeper of the Keys. So
Keeper of Keys and Grounds at Hogwarts.
So shout out to you. You're awesome.
Thank you for your story, Kate.
You even got a song from Sarah.
Meg. Singing you a silly song.
I believe we are moving on to our social media.
Here is the media of socials.
You say that because of me.
I do. Swish and Flick podcast can be found on all of the different forms of social media.
Wait, what?
We can. What? Do you want to find out how?
No. Yes, tell me more.
We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook and Swish Flickcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Also, make sure that you head on over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel. Follow us on our crazy Potter-filled adventures together. Maybe even some puff pastry eventually when we decide to edit it. You can also join us on Patreon for exclusive access to
The Felix Files.
That's the Felix Files. That's our bi-monthly bonus episodes. You can also have a chance to be a guest on The Felix Files. Join us for a live video chat, monthly giveaways, and more. If that sounds like fun, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. Thank you to all of our current patrons. We love you so much.
You guys are awesome.
Lastly, make sure that you check out our website, which is swishflickcast.com. You can check out all the info on Swish and Flick there, compiled into one place, along with all of our brand new merch.
Yeah, and in case you guys didn't see, for our 1-year anniversary, we released 4 new shirts. I'm pretty proud of them.
They're pretty cool.
They're pretty cool, so head on over, check it
just
out.
Okay.
Sarah,
they're amazing.
I'll return yours.
Do I get one?
No, I'm returning it. Yeah.
Going in the garbage.
That was not a good garbage.
Yes, it was.
It's a garbage.
Garbage.
Those shirts are garbage.
Those shirts are garbage.
If I'm being honest, the shirts that are had the purple, which I don't know why I said purple like that, but oh my goodness, they're so soft and they're so cute.
Especially the one that says Florence.
You can have one that says Florence is always around. I also
always
have.
Always there.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. I don't even know my own catchphrase. and I also have a towel with my name on it. It says Florence.
So you can wipe your butt with Florence.
Well, it's a beach towel, so I wouldn't wipe anything with it.
You can dry your butt off?
I mean...
If you're in the pool?
No.
Or the beach? Isn't that what towels are for?
All right. Do we want to plug our other projects here?
Sure. Go for it.
All right. First up, Kate and I are on another podcast called Grown Up Kids, a Disney podcast. We're doing a chronological watch of all of the Disney films.
You almost said reread.
I said rewatch almost, but like I always want to say rewatch, and then I'm like, I haven't seen like almost all these movies, so it's a watch. It's fun. We dive deep into the movies and have fun facts, learn some history about them. You get our opinions on them, favorite characters, least favorite characters, all of that fun stuff. Honestly, even if you haven't seen the movie, I think it's a good conversation to just listen to. But that's just me.
Yeah, maybe we're just biased, but you know. So we also have a poster business on Etsy. Yes. It's called Akio Design. So we design like a bunch of cool stuff from around the Wizarding World, like shop signs and house dedicated signs. And
we also have a section on our Etsy page that hosts my mama's scarves.
Yes.
And blankets that are Hogwarts house colors.
If you want a legit scarf, and I know she's my mother-in-law, but she made me one before she started selling them. It's a Newt Scamander one. It looks better than the merch you can buy in the stores. It's so soft, and it's really warm for the winter, and it's not like too obnoxiously large or anything. Perfect. Highly recommend.
And they're only $15.
Yep. Sarah, what are you up to?
Nothing.
Oh, is that your plug?
I was going to talk about books I've read, but I haven't actually read anything but Harry Potter in a little bit. But I will say my sister and I might be turning BB-8 Radio into something new. So keep your eyes peeled for that in the next few months, because I know we've done nothing with it. But I look forward to reading other books. So if you have any books that you think I might enjoy, I literally will read almost anything. It just has to grab my attention. I'm down for it. So,
yeah.
Reading's cool, guys. Stay in school. Don't drool on school.
Because you might get in trouble for falling asleep. All right. I think that brings us to the end. But just none of us can say this. We have to put a little clip of Tiffany.
Don't let those muggles get you down.
Who was that?
Is that a new person?
Oh, God. The birth of a new character.
It's pretty painless. My epidural was pretty good.
Sarah, you're a new mom once again. How's it feel?
Good.
Oh, there's Bud. It's Bud the father.
Oh, no.
Cheating on Florence.
Oh, God. Huh. All right. Insert Tiffany quote here.
Ooh, Tiffany. Ooh, Tiffany.
So now we have Marilyn and
Tiffany.
And she wasn't even here for it. Tiffany's not here.
All right, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
We need to test the new mic.
We are gonna talk about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Spoiler alert, it's Sirius Black. Spoiler alert, he really didn't do anything. He was kind of framed by a gross rat man. Who doesn't die soon enough? He actually outlives all his other friends. Minus Remus.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, poor Remus.
Beverly!
Beverly!
I'm ready.
Katie, what would you do?
I'm not too busy crying and worried about Sarah because she's dying. Are you okay?